Chagasalvavas Shir for Women, Wednesday, Yud Iyar, Tavshinayin Hay, Shara Vodas Valokim, Shir number 13, Wednesday, Parshas Emor.
Okay, learning Chagasalvavas, we're in Shara Vodas Valokim, and we're at the end of Perek Gimel. In case you follow the text, I hope they made the paragraph in the right place. After the seven qualities of Ha'ara Toronis over Ha'ara Sichlius, he finished right the seven things of Ha'ara Sichlius, then seven things of Ha'ara Toronis, and then he starts talking till the end of the Perek. The seventh thing is only 2-3 lines, and then he starts talking about in general. Okay, now he established Ha'ara Sichlius and Ha'ara Toronis, and now he's going back to the idea that no matter which maslul you're in, you're doing it as a response to Hashem's beneficence and as Hakaras HaTov and as our way of acknowledging what Hashem does for us. That's how we should do all of our avodas Hashem. That's how we should do all of our anything we do. Our fulfilling the will of Hashem is our way of saying thank you and our way of acknowledging that He's responsible for everything in our lives, including our very existence. So he goes back to that yesod here, after the seven things. And he says, and he goes over and he says again, he says, the normal everyday things that affect everyone in the world, meaning everyone in general, people breathe, their blood flows, they digest food, gravity, all the things he talked about in Shar HaBechina, that's universal things. And in response to that, we have, and very interesting, he says, we have the sichliastika mitzvahs, things that, you know, are things that theoretically we have to do it because Hashem told us to do it, but the things that are, you know, the natural tovos that Hashem bestows result in the natural obligations. Natural meaning things that we would understand, things that we do understand, not to steal, not to cheat, not to do avodah zarah, and basically that covers B'nai Noach as well, he holds. And as I pointed out, because the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is a different count than the 613 Mitzvahs, the seven Mitzvahs B'nai Noach are an enumeration of categories, but they encompass a lot of Mitzvahs. Just the Mitzvah to set up a court system, a judicial system, which is one of seven, you know, probably, you figure there's around 30 to 40 Mitzvahs that have to do with the judicial system. And all of that about Noach is mitzvah, and not to take bribes, and to judge fairly, and, you know, to treat both Bali Dinim equally. So it covers really a large part of Torah. Yiddish guy doesn't believe there's no two religions, there's no different religions. There's only one Hashem, and everyone has to worship Hashem. There's only one religion, worshiping Hashem. And the Jewish people have more obligations, and the Umos Olam have less obligations. That's all. But it's all the same religion, worshipping Hashem, Hashem Echad, and the non-Jew also has to believe Hashem Echad, and he has the Sheva Mitzvahs to do. And the Jewish people are special, Hashem Bochabon Mikol Ha'amim, but the Chavis HaBlavos is explaining that. He's explaining, he says, look, you have, because everything's a response of Hakaras HaTov. So you have what's universal is universal. Then you have something special that B'nai Yisrael are different. Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim and made Ma'amar Har Sinai and gave them a Torah and said, you guys are special to me. No? Special. Nothing racist about it, nothing wrong with that. He said, because we're all descendants of Avram Avinu, and he had a special relationship with Hashem. Hashem knew, Ramchal explains, so to speak, Hashem knew. Hashem was always planning on having, after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, after Adam HaRishon sinned, so there was always going to be one nation that like gets back up there, so to speak. And Hashem was just looking around for the right person, and he found Avram Avinu. So we're just descendants of Avram. And that's why Geirim equal, because Avram is Av Hamon Goyim, and he made, so they're also descendants of Avram in a spiritual sense. So that's why they're equal, because we're all descendants of Avram. We may be physical descendants of Avram, but so what? It's all Avram Avinu. It's not us. There's nothing special about us. I don't want to make you feel bad, but okay. So that specialness results in special obligations. Oh, we have to do mitzvahs, right? And the Chayim Shabbos very interestingly makes that the mitzvahs that are not so seicheldik. Even though we may think we understand them, let's say hafrashas challah or mezuzah, it doesn't necessarily have to be a chok, an inexplicable decree, but it's not something we would think of on our own. Because, you know, maybe take challah, not take challah, you know. Yes, have a mezuzah, not have a mezuzah. Doesn't follow logically, and that's why it's not universal, and that's how he sets it up. For universal tovos from Hashem are universal obligations. Again, we are obligated in them through the Torah. But the non-Jew also, the Rambam says, the non-Jew is obligated to do the seven mitzvahs because Hashem told Moshe at Har Sinai. See, that's a very important Rambam, that the non-Jew also has to do the seven mitzvahs because of Matan Torah. Even though they, so to speak, rejected the Torah, which is an old story in itself, because we were the descendants of Avram, and we came out of Mitzrayim. That's not fair, you're offering it to them. Like, why should they be able to say yes? If they didn't come out of Mitzrayim, they're not descendants of Avram. But that's another speech for another day. So he sets it up, so we have the mitzvahs that are not, we have universal tovos, called biology, chemistry, physics, plant life, all the things he talks about in Shara Bechina are really all universal things, except for the last thing where he talks about that Hashem chose us and gave us a history and gave us the Torah. But otherwise it's universal, and that's universal avoda, and it's sichlius mitzvahs. We ratchet up a bit, and B'nai Yisrael, wow, Hashem did us this, and therefore we have to acknowledge that, and we do more mitzvahs. We have more thank yous to say. He then says that gets ratcheted up with Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi, Hashem chose them to be especially close with Him, to serve Him in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they have more avoda to do, because they have more thank yous. He inverts what is a little, I think, it's a little counterintuitive. If you would ask someone that the Kohanim have more obligations, but they get Truma, and they get Meiser, David Levi, and they get Matnas Kahuna, and there's 24 Matnas Kahuna, so what's the cause and what's the effect? I think most people, if they would then think about it, would say they have to work in the Beis HaMikdash, and this is their pay stub at the end of the work. They get these Matnas Kahuna, right? But the Chavis Alvavis looks at it invertedly. He says they were chosen to work in the Beis Mikdash and get Matnos Kahuna, and therefore they get holy food, right? They can eat holy food, and only Kohanim can, and some things only the Levim can, so they have to say more thank you. So they have to work at the Beis Mikdash, so the cause is the Matnos Kahuna, the gifts of Kahuna and Levi. And the result is the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's an interesting way. He inverts the way you look at it, because he's saying this yisod, that the whole avodah Hashem, whether it's a orasichlis or orotoronis, is all based on the principle he gave us in the psicha to the shar, hakaras hatov, for which you have to learn shar habechina, which comes before shar avodah selokim, because we have to train ourselves to be thankful and to have gratitude towards Hashem. Lamaisa, theoretically, it's not as neat as I'm saying it, because Ha'ora Sichlis at its extreme would get us even mitzvahs like, I said, Challah and Mezuzah, and maybe even Chukim. How do I know that? Because Avram Avinu did that. Avram Avinu was, the biggest philosophers in the world, the Rambam describes him, and he actually meditated and thought and inquired and discussed and held public debates, and he hammered out Tekala Torah Kula from that, which is something beyond our comprehension, because how did he come up with the Chukim? But he even came up with Erev Tavshilin, Rashi says in Chumash, right? So you could theoretically do it, but the more natural, the easier one, the one that's maybe more on our level, is that if we would do, if we would do as our Sichlis, we would probably look at Venodim Lachaveiro, and maybe things like Pesach, and I don't know if we would come up with eating matzah, but we would come up with maybe Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we would come up with, we wouldn't come up with the Arba Minim, we probably wouldn't come up with sitting in a sukkah, but we would come up with the idea of commemorating the Yom Tovim. So, okay, like I say, Avraham Avinu came up with everything. But the scale is universal tovos, he says now, universal obligations. A little more special, Bocha Bona Mikol Ha'amim, so we have 613 mitzvahs. A little more, Shevet Kahuna and Leviyah, so they have more obligations. They have to say thank you because they have more increased tova. And now he says, and now we're at the very end of the Paragimel, Va'al HaHakosha HaZos. With this in mind, with these examples I'm giving you of universal, and then the Jewish people, and then Shevet Levi, every single person has to react in such a way. Meaning, if I feel blessed by Hashem, I look around, maybe I see people with troubles in Parnosa. I Baruch Hashem have Parnosa. I look around, I see people with troubles in health. Baruch Hashem, my family's healthy. And I feel especially blessed, I have a special obligation. What? You have to figure out what. Maybe you should give more tzedakah. Maybe you should... He doesn't say this, but I think it follows logically, I think he implies it also, that you should do something special with the gift you were given from Hashem. In other words, I don't have problems in Parnassa, let's say, so I should use my money to give tzedakah, chesed, maybe achnasas orchim. I should do something with my money. Hashem gave me a particularly musical talent. Other people don't have that. How do I have to say thank you for that. How? Maybe I'll use the talent to thank Hashem, to sing songs to Hashem, to compose songs to Hashem. He doesn't say this. He just talks about specially blessed, special thank you. You have to increase your thank you level. I don't want to say you have to be more frum, because the Lovers doesn't think in those terms. But we have to do more for Hashem. We have to make Hashem more pleased with us. We have to take on more. Maybe a man looks at himself and says, you know, I look around and I have more analytical abilities than other people. You see? Okay? You have to learn more. So he doesn't equate the gift you were given with how to thank Hashem. But he implies it, and I'm saying it. I think that would make sense to me. That, you know, instead of saying, oh, I'm especially smart, let me give more tzedakah, which would also be legitimate, because his point is I have to increase my level of avodas Hashem. And again, it's all based on the psicha, because of all of our mitzvah obligations is based on thank you, you see? So that's his whole point. So if I have more thank yous to say, I have to do more for Hashem. And I have to figure out what to do. Yeah.
But according to that, then, the person who's sick and poor and has some children or other things has to do less thank yous?
Not less thank you. So he has to do... Let's assume that the person can come up with... So he'll have to do... He's alive, so he's mechuyev in all the natural mitzvahs. He's Jewish, so he has to thank Hashem for that. So he has to keep Torah. You're never going to sink below the bar of keeping all of Torah and all of mitzvahs, because I'm a member of the Jewish people. And I have all the universal thank yous that's common to mankind. And then I'm a Jew. So I have to thank Hashem for that. So you'll never sink below that bar. If someone really has a miserable life and can't think of anything special they've been blessed with, so okay, so you know what? They'll just have to keep Kala Torah Kula. That's all. Okay. not so easy to do that. The bigger chiddush is the other way. We all have things, most of us, I mean, and people have things that they feel blessed with. And that's the chiddush. The chiddush is to do this, to increase. And it's a very major yisod, and it's extremely logical. It follows very logically from his whole structure of Avodas Hashem. V'alahakosha hazoz kol mi sheyichel olokim osu betova mibaladei shor b'nei yehodim. If someone feels especially blessed with something, tzorech sheyichayiv, he has to obligate himself. As atzmo avoda sheyishyachid bo mibaladeim. So he has to do something special that other people don't do. Im hishtadlo me avoda, besides his doing avoda hakolelos also imayim, besides the usual, he has to do extra. Kifi yacholto, right? He can't do what he can't do. Whatever he's capable of doing, v'hasagoso, and it has to be real, it has to be sincere. See, in this is where the hara sichlis kicks in, because this will obviously be hara sichlis, not a hara toronis. And if you remember, the very first quality he assigned to Ha'ara Sichlis was that you can't do it Shelo Lishma. It's all in the heart and the mind. So that's why he says, Kifi Yecholto, his ability, V'hasagosol Odos Lashem. You know, he has to indeed feel grateful, feel gratitude. So otherwise, it doesn't make sense. There's nothing you have to do. Mitzvahs you have to do even if you're not holding by Ha'ara Sichlis. But this is pure Ha'ara Sichlis, so you will, according to his grasp of thanking Hashem, Al Ma Sheyichdo Bo Menatov, you know, whatever special goodness Hashem has bestowed upon him. Now he says something which kind of spoils it, but what can you do? He says, and that will be a skus that Hashem will continue to give you tov. Now that ruins the Lishma. Because you might have an ulterior motive now, because you want to keep the good things coming. But that's what he says, because I guess it's true. So he can't hide the truth. You know, it's like I always wonder, it says in Pirkei Avos, right? You shouldn't be boreach acher hakovot, right? It says, but you should do things, and then it says, v'sof hakovot lovo. And don't worry, you'll get your cover. By saying that, boy, Chazal ruined it. They made it very, very hard. Because you're going to be borech min hakavod, but now you're going to be looking back. Make sure that it's that it's chasing you. So it makes it even harder. It demands a higher madrega even than we think. Like, it's easy enough, let's say, to be borech min hakavod or not. But if Chazal tell you sof hakavod lavo, and you can still do it lishma, without looking behind you, and it says you should be rodef min hakavod, it doesn't mean with your neck, with your head craned, looking back to make sure it's chasing you. So that, it makes it a very high madrega, right? Chazal sort of, they didn't want to make it too easy, so they said v'sof hakavod lavo. Now go do it lishma. Wow, that's very hot. So he also did that here. Because he said, v'yiyeh gorem hasmadosa, you will be the cause of the goodness continuing. You know, you're saying thank you because you want another present. L'hosif lo aleha, and even to give you more tova. V'ligmol al avodoso abo, and he will give you gmul for your avoda. But really, see, that's part of the whole system is that way. Because again, when we say thank you to someone and we acknowledge it, the person gains something out of it. You know, he feels good. He feels appreciated. You know, Hashem, this is like, the whole system is this way. Because everything we do only results in more schar for us. Because Hashem doesn't need our thanks. Hashem doesn't need our acknowledgement. He's not asking for it for himself, as it were. Chas v'shalom. Hashem needs nothing. So the whole system is only that it could reflect back and give us schar. Otherwise, there's no need for the system. Who needs it? So that's amazing. So it's not so bad that he said that, because the whole structure is like that, even on its most basic level of Shar Avodas Elokim as a way of saying thank you. But the reason Hashem set that up to say thank you to him is only that we can be rewarded for saying thank you, because he doesn't need anything, so we're not doing anything for him by acknowledging. The Loyia, and now this is my, when I say it's an implication that you should use the gift to serve Hashem more, he doesn't say that. He just says more gifted, more tovos, give more, increase your avodas Hashem, give a little more tzedakah, learn a little more, do a little more chesed, daven a little, right, make a bracha with a little more kavana. You know, go that extra mile, if Hashem, so to speak, went that extra mile with you. But now he says, and this is why I called it an implication, v'lo yiyah, and make sure you're not k'mo she'nemar bo, like the pasuk in Hosea that says, the kesef hirbesi lo, the zohav osu labal. I showered Klal Yisrael with riches, and they turned around and they took that money and they built Avodah Zorah temples and Avodah Zorahs with it. So there already you see it's connected. You know, don't take that money and do an Avera with it. The implication being, take that money I gave you and do mitzvahs with it. And anyway, as I said, it's logical, because you should take the gift and like use the gift to say thank you. You know, someone gives you a new computer, so you type a thank you note on the computer. That's fitting. And now he says something scary. Because what would I think? Let's say Hashem gave me a special gift. Hashem gave me money. I don't have a problem with parnosa. I look around. I see it's not so simple. Plenty of people struggle with parnosa. I have parnosa. Okay? So I have to do something extra. Let's say I don't do something extra. I say, okay, listen, this is like extra credit, so I'll just be a regular guy. I'm not obligated. So I won't be special, and I won't say thank you for this special gift. So I'll be like a regular person, saying thank you for being able to breathe, for being alive, saying thank you for Asher Bocha Bona Mikol Ha'amin. And I won't say thank you that I have parnosa and I don't have to worry about parnosa. Because the Rebbe says, no, you're going to end up sinking till you do Averis. That's what he says. Now we're going to learn it inside. Now it's not a segula. He's not giving us a negative segula. He's saying that if you're kofui tov, then you're gonna, if you're kofui tov, this is like the Chazal tell us by Paro. He started off saying, right, Asher lo yada es Yosef, he wasn't makir tov to Yosef, and by the end of the parsha, he's saying lo yadati es Hashem. If you, a person that has kfiyas hatov will sink to not acknowledging Hashem in his life, in her life, and Mela not saying the thank you of doing mitzvahs. It will follow. Again, this is structure of life is one big thank you. If you don't say thank you for the extra, so you're essentially a kofui tov. I don't want to say thank you for that. It's only a matter of time till, I don't want to say thank you for being a Jew. I don't want to say thank you for being alive. You'll sing to a madrega. He says, lower than a Kohen, lower than a Jew, lower than a human being. You'll end up like worse than an animal. Of course, we'll bring down the Pasuk in Novi that the animals recognize at least who feeds them. Maybe they don't verbalize thank you, but Yoda Shor Koneho, Vachamor Avus Ba'alav, the Pasuk says, an animal, you know, recognizes the person feeding it. And so a person certainly should. That's what the Navi says. So that's what he says here at the end. There's a flip side here that's a little scary, that if you don't do it, it's not just you're not doing extra, you didn't take the extra credit question on the test. It means there's a flaw in your character that's going to end up getting wider and wider and wider. Umisha Makatzer Bo'avoda, someone who shortens, who lessens their Avodas Hashem, their thank you. Almeshe Yuchad Bo'minatova, for what was singularly given to him or her as a tova, yigrom lo, that will cause lekatzer b'meshi k'bo mishpachto. So the next step is He won't feel the gratitude given to his mishpacha, or in the case that he gives the shevet. V'achakach b'meshe yuchad bo amo, who'll then reject any special thank you that he has to give for being Jewish. I didn't ask to be Jewish. I didn't ask to be born to a Jewish mother. V'aniach es haTorah, so he'll end up moving away from Torah, because he doesn't have a sense of gratitude to Hashem. V'chiven she'eno mekabel es haTorah, so the next lower step, even than that, is Eina Makabel Chayuvei HaSichlius. He won't even be he's not going to be, okay, I'll be like a Ben Noach. I'll say thank you to Hashem for breathing, for being alive, for being human, for being able to think. If you denied this, and that, if you're stubborn, refuse to acknowledge and say thank you, so you're not going to say thank you. It'll take maybe a little more time, but eventually you'll reject this thank you as well. Which is like so totally logical and normal. He sinks down. He's like an animal. He's worse than an animal. An animal has a natural instinct. He knows who's feeding it, right? Even though there is a musa called biting the hand that's feeding you, but if you know your literature, it's usually said about people, not about animals. Animals don't bite the hand that's feeding them, only people do. Kamo sha'amar yoda shar konehu, v'chamor evus ba'olov, Yisrael lo yeida mi lo hizbonon, v'yadarko derech mishanemar olov, ki rishom yovedu, v'oyvei Hashem kikar korim, like animals that are burnt on an altar, kolu be'oshan kolu. This is very, very scary, right? We were all uplifted, and we said, this is very gishmak, I'm going to go home and thank Hashem. But now he tells you the flip side. It's not extra credit, it's obligatory. And that's very scary. It means I have to say, well, look, you know, and it's not just I'm smarter, and I have parnosa, anything, you know, right? I had two daughters got engaged within 4 months. You know, that doesn't happen. It's not a run-of-the-mill thing. Wow, thank you, Hashem. Okay, that's very bolate, but sometimes it's more subtle. You know, I had this big trouble, and I landed on my feet, right? My foot, I landed on my foot. You landed on my foot. People have sorrows, and they don't... That's also, you have to acknowledge that you emerged a shtickle unscathed. Right, there's people who have tzaras and they don't emerge unscathed. They suffer for it. They suffer, and it reverberates and it messes up their life, and they need all sorts of things to get them back on track. And you know, I had this tremendous tzara, but I emerged unscathed. That's something to thank Hashem for. So, and what's scary is that he makes it so mamash obligatory. But it's all normal. You see, this is all. He's not saying a chulk. He's saying, if you're not makir tov, if you're not sensitive to the tova Hashem does, and you're not makir tov, then it'll just a matter of time till that spills over into the other areas in your life. Just a matter of time. That's what he says. So that's scary, but it's so again, but that's what he says, and that's what we have to take to heart. So you have to make sure, all it means is saying brachas with kavana, thanking Hashem for the ability to see all the brichas hashachar, and thanking Hashem, if we say any of Psukkah de Zimra, maybe, you know, Hallel, we thank Hashem, and I thank Hashem by keeping mitzvahs. That's his major, major yisod, that I would say, I don't want to say nobody, only people that have come to my shir and learn chavisal, right? Who thinks of doing a mitzvah as a way of saying thank you to Hashem? It's really a mechudish. Again, I want to stress the chavisal love is a very early rishon in the first door of the rishonim, centuries before Rashi, centuries before the Rambam, centuries before the Mesillas Yesharim. And you know, he's a Talmud of the Gaonim, so this is basic stuff. And if you're sensitive to davening and to Tehillim, Daven HaMelech, you really see this. And it's a little chiddush, meaning we're not used to thinking that way. I'm coming to hear a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so I have the Ha'orah Sichlius of a shofar. and Hashem's the king, and I'm being mamlechim, and the akedah, and it's a tefillah, and all the fancy things that I read about, and heard about, and listened to shiurim about, and all that stuff, and that's the hara sichlius, then there's the hara toranisat. Okay, I'm speaking to people who don't have to hear shofar, I'm sorry. Picked the wrong example. But there's the blanket foundation is I have to thank Hashem. And this is how Hashem told me to thank him. Like that's, who thinks like that? We either think Ha'ora Toranis, I'm obligated to do this because it says it in the Torah. I don't know. I'm a Jew. It says in Shulchan Aruch, I got to do it. The rabbi said I got to do it. My wife said I have to do it. My husband said I have to do it. I have to do it. It's in the Mishnah Berurah. And what am I going to do? Go fight City Hall. That's our Torah. What is our Sukkah? I understand Sukkah. I'm thinking about it. And Mezuzah, I'm thinking about what I'm doing. And Pesach, I'm eating Matzah. I'm thinking about what I'm doing. But then the whole, that's already, this is what we're learning. That's already Madrega number two. The baseline is that everything's thank you. Or a Toranis. Why am I compelled to do anything? Why do I have to listen to the Mishnah Berurah? Why do I have to listen to the rabbi? You'll notice I didn't say, why do I have to listen to my wife? That I have to listen to. Why do I have to listen to the Mishnah Berurah? Why do I have to say thank you to Hashem? Like, why do I have to sit in the sukkah and all the, why? So that's what he talks about in the psicha. That's your baseline of Avodas Elokim. Everything is thank you. Hakaras Atol. That's what he spent the whole psicha doing. Then it goes into two streams. Ha'ora Toranis, which is more obedience, ritual oriented, Schar V'Onesh oriented. And then there's what he holds is the higher Madrega. The thing we should aspire to is an emotional and intellectual connection to Hashem. And these are the channels through which I form that intellectual and emotional connection to Hashem, the mitzvahs. But since the baseline is thank you, no matter which way you go, the baseline is thank you. So then he says this chiddush at the end of Perek Gimel. If I have more thank you to say, I have to do more. And then he gives, and if you don't, okay, you want to have a question, I think? Huh? Okay, that finishes Perek Gimel. We'll move on to Perek Dalet. V'ro'i lanu levoyer, it is now appropriate of us to explain. Okay, in Perek Dalet, he's going to explain the framework of Torah. Now, in the beginning, he's going to say things that you say, okay, come on, could we skip? This is simple. This is part of the stuff. But then he's going to get into, again, a very deep area of Avodas Hashem. In the beginning, he says simple stuff, you know, but then he gets into deep depth. And he talks about mitzvahs and averus and a third category, which he calls something that's mutter, and we probably would call it divrei rishus. You know, we think most of our lives, the regular things you do that are neither mitzvahs nor averus, they're life. I want to go on a trip. Okay, I go on a trip. It's not a mitzvah, it's not an avera. So he talks about that. Is there such a thing? Is there a phenomena of the third thing that it's not, so we know there are things that are not one of the 248 mitzvahs, and they are not one of the 365 averus. But is there a demilitarized zone? Is there a despiritualized zone? That's what he's going to talk about in this parak. Is there a zone in our lives that's despiritual? It's rishus, mutter. He talks about that. It's a very deep discussion. So he starts off Roy Lana Lavora Tsuras Oratoria. I'm going to explain the framework of Torah. The Chelke HaTorah, its parts. Umaylo Sanche HaChochma. I'm going to explain, this is a coming prokim, different levels of scholarship, because That's a scholarship is not the point. We're not talking about how many degrees you have, but how much you understand about Torah, utchunosam, and how it affects people, how it affects their characteristic, their midos, their munosam ba, what they believe, because how much you can grasp. Some people, you know, are more capable of grasping the nature of Hashem, and some people just, somech anau mesora, you know. Chazal is not so happy with that, but it's good, right? I just know because that's what I learned. That's what my parents taught me, my teachers taught me, right? He would like an independent inquiry into Hashem, but okay, that's a different discussion. Chazal encourages it, others discourage it. The Kabbalos of Osa, for Omar, and I will say. So first, this, the first step is. Now that sounds simple, but you know, maybe people don't think about that enough. The Torah and its mitzvahs is a prophecy. Is Hashem talking to people? Hashem gave us the Torah. Hashem said, "This is what I want you to do." This is not something a philosopher thought of. This is not something that somebody woke up and said, Hashem came to me in a dream. There was a revelation. This is the Dvar Hashem. Whether Chumash, Tanakh, Shulchan Aruch, the way we have it, this is the Dvar Hashem. This is Hashem talking to us. And that's HaTorah Toriya Hi Chazon Me'es Elokim. It's a vision, a heavenly vision, a godly vision that Hashem imparted to whom? To all of us, but Agadei Ish Mibnei Yodom, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, in case you're wondering. But Moshe Rabbeinu was only a person. He was a boss of Adam. He was a person. And Hashem gave us the basic, the manual. This is what I want you to do. Okay, again, we don't have to go through the whole rigmarole every time I say it. This is how I want you to say thank you to me, and there's Aura Sichli is in there too. Hashem, he's talking about Torah now. You're going to analyze Torah. So he starts off saying, you know, the first step is to realize that this is Nevuah. This is a prophecy. This is Hashem talking to us through Moshe Rabbeinu. We heard the first two commandments, but we all saw the revelation at our Sinai. And he told us, B'meshu tel be'ein of mehem me'avodosu. He told us how he would like to be served. He told us what to do, how to live. Do this, don't do this. It's a nevuah. You know, one of the 13 animamins is that Hashem communicates with people. I say that, whatever. Let's say I don't believe Hashem communicates with people. Is that so terrible? Is that like, I'm an apikairis? Hashem doesn't. The answer is, if you don't believe Hashem communicates with people, the whole foundation of our Torah falls away. The whole Torah is we don't have nevuah nowadays. Right? So, what's the relevance of animamin number, six? What's the relevance of number six? There's no nevuah nowadays either. Anyway, so what do I have to believe that there's nevuah? I'll believe that it's nevuah when we get back nevuah. And then I'll believe in nevuah. What do I have to believe in it now for? It's not relevant. It's a little relevanti. The answer is, what are you talking about? Torah is nevuah. If I don't believe that Hashem communicates with people, then what's the Torah? A brilliant document. So what? Who cares? This is Hashem talking to us. So I have to believe in Nevuah. Now, you may want to prove the veracity of the Torah in other ways, which they do. But I believe in Nevuah. So I know it's possible. I know it came from Hashem. That's my Mesorah, and I believe it. So that's what he says. That's number one. And that's why it's important for Nevuah to be one of the animamins. And of course, the next animamin is that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is on a different level than anyone else's. It's not just a question of it's a difference in degree, not just a question of more Nevuah. Because without these two animamins, we can't approach the Torah. L'gomlam al-Kabbalah. So Hashem told us what to do. Again, he told us what to do to serve him. But he doesn't need our service. Like, the whole thing's a scam. He told us how to serve him so that he should give us a reward for doing so. Kabul Bolam Azeh, the most healthy, satisfactory life will come from following the Torah. That's a truism. Ubolam haba, and kemuvan scharin olam haba, chesed unadava v'tova. We won't go into this now, but that's a big yesod of the Chavis Halvavis, that ultimately we can't ever achieve to deserve olam haba. It'll always be a chesed from Hashem, nadava, tova. Okay, so we have here the Torah, and I'm going to explain the chelke haTorah, and this is what Hashem, it's prophecy, that's the first yesod, it's chazon me'esa elokim, he says, and he told people, he communicated with people, this is what I'd like you to do to serve me. The purpose is not to serve Hashem, because Hashem needs no service. So the purpose is to give them schar, both in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. V'atorah cholekes ma'aser b'nei Adam, he starts off saying, the Chavis Halvavis, that everything people do can be split into three categories. Tzivui, what you should do. V'azhara, what you should keep away from doing. Umutter, he calls it. We would call it rishus. He is going to develop that thought, and he's going to wonder out loud whether there could really be such a thing as rishus. So there could, on a practical level, meaning I want to take a trip. Okay? Well, first of all, you'll have to leave Eretz Yisrael. Okay. I want to take a trip in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. I don't have to worry about that love. I want to take a trip. So nobody's going to say it's a mitzvah, it's not in the count, and no one's going to say it's an avera, okay? Unless, again, it could be theoretically a mitzvah, it could be an avera. That's what he's going to do. Is there really such a thing? Why am I taking the trip? What's my purpose in taking the trip? To enjoy myself? Well, then it's not really an avera, but it's not bringing me closer to Hashem. So you got to train yourself to say, okay, it's to relax. I need to relax. I need to rest. Oh, so that's fine. That's cool. So that's like sleeping. Just like sleeping gives you koach, and theoretically you're supposed to think, you hopefully think, it should be true, not just think, that you're sleeping in order to have koach, in order to serve Hashem. So you can take a trip for that purpose too. So really he's going to... So it's rishus, because there's no mitzvah to take a trip. Okay, say, but if I really need to relax, and my easy chair doesn't do it for me, and I'm a bundle of nerves, and I just have to get away from it all, so then it like gets into the mitzvah category, right? Because you really should take that trip. And if you end up going to a non-sneistic place where the kashrus is questionable, and it's just, you know, certain standards of mitzvahs get loosened, so then it's going towards the Avera column. That's what he's going to develop. Now we'll stop here. But Gadol, if you're talking objectively, there's three categories, because there are things that are, there's mitzvah, Avera, and Rishus, or he calls it Hetter. Okay, we'll stop here.